Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going to the book of 1 Thessalonians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, ending in verse 13, where we see that we may be sinners and we may be filled with problems, but in Christ, we are faultless and justified in His sight. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, with a message entitled, The Way to Stay Unblameable Before God.
What I want you guys to grab a hold of is this. He wants us, this is what he's saying, inspired by God's Spirit. He wants us to love each other and to love everybody outside the church included until the end. We are called to be lovers of man until the end. And in being lovers of men, we will be practicing holiness, which is separateness from the things of this life. I'm preaching on that next Sunday. And in being holy, because we're loving people, we'll be absolutely unblameable before God. In other words, like Jesus said in Matthew 22 to the religious leaders who were trying to trap him, when they said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is equal to the first commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus commands that we love each other, and we're to do this to the very end. And if we love each other, we're going to be unblameable before God. Very simple. Speaking positionally. Are you with me? Speaking positionally, speaking practically in our practice of how we live our lives. Let me show you what I mean here. Come with me real quick to the book of Exodus. I want to look at some of the commandments with you before I really get into the meat of our study here. Exodus chapter 20. The first four commandments are on one tablet. The last six are on another tablet. The first four are about our relationship with God, the vertical. The last six are our relationship with fellow man, the horizontal. Okay, that's what we have here in the Ten Commandments. And so, by way of review, the first commandment is found in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. The second commandment is found in verse 4. You shall not make unto thee any graven image. And then it talks about idols and bowing down to them. The third commandment is found in verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The fourth commandment is found in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So these are all things that pertain to man's relationship with God. But then it starts getting man to man in verse 12. He says, here's the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days might be long upon the earth which the Lord the God has given thee. This is now concerning our relationships with one another here in this world. Here's the deal. If we're loving each other, we're not going to break these six commandments, which everything else flows from. Daniel asked me on Friday, how many laws are there in God's words? There's 613 laws, but they've stemmed off of these 10 commandments, and they are included from the Mishnah and other traditions of the rabbis and the scribes of ancient day. Everything stems from these 10 commandments that we have that we would consider law. You're going to fulfill all six of the horizontal tablet. You're going to fulfill all six of God's commandments, not God's suggestions, God's requirements, by simply loving each other. If you love your mom and dad, you're going to honor them, right? I mean, it's very easy here. How do I honor my mom and dad? Love them. If I love them, I'm going to honor them. This is a very, very simple message. Look at verse 13. This is the sixth commandment. He says, you shall not kill. Not talking about varmints. Not talking about hedgehogs. Not talking about deer. You get venison this fall, remember that. I'm all about it. Go get it. You know what I'm saying? Like jerky and backstraps and things such of that nature, you know. You could bring them here to the office. We'd love you for it. It's not what he's saying here. The word here is murder. You should not murder just to murder. You should not just kill just to kill. Take innocent blood. This isn't talking about going to war. This isn't talking about defending women and children. This is talking about like evil, premeditated murder. That's what this is dealing with here. He says, you shall not murder. Listen, if we love people, we're not going to murder. You see why Jesus said that that's the second greatest commandment, really equal to the first? Love your neighbors, you love yourself. You do that, you're going to honor your parents. You do that, you're not going to kill somebody. Right? Look what he says here. The seventh commandment, the third on the horizontal plank, verse 14, he says, you shall not commit adultery. You're not going to commit adultery if you love your neighbor, specifically your wife. You're not going to cheat on your spouse if you're loving your neighbor, if you're loving God the way you're supposed to. And you can't not love your neighbor if you're loving God, by the way. James said you can't bless God in James chapter 3 and then curse man who's made in God's image when you've never even seen God before. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, I love Christ, but I hate Christians. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to commit adultery, and you're not going to hurt the person you're married to if you love the person. Again, the law is fulfilled in love. Amen? Just moving through this here, he says, you shall not steal, verse 15. You're not going to steal from somebody if you're loving them. You wouldn't want to hurt them. Verse 16, the ninth commandment, you shall not lie or bear false witness against your neighbor. You would never do that about somebody you really love, would you? So love your neighbor, you won't do it. And then the 10th and last commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, middle verse 17, his manservant, his maidservant, his Denali, you know, his John Deere, nor anything else that is your neighbor's. You're not going to when you love the person. So this is a great test for us. When we look at these things that God says, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to carry yourself. If you do what he says of you and what he requires of you, you are not going to break his law. But Paul here, back in 1 Thessalonians, he gets into more specificity than just love each other. He gets more into specificity here of what he means than just fulfill the commandments. He says here that I want you to love one another and love all men the way that we have loved you. And there are four things that I've discovered in these opening chapters that I can highlight for you this morning that I'm going to in a moment that will describe such love for us to take a test, for us to self-examine, to ask ourselves, do I love the people that I go to church with, the people that I fellowship with, before I get into just humanity in general, do I love other people, Christians, those who I'm around 24/7, do I love them the way that Paul loved the bride in Thessalonica? Because if I do, then that's the way for me to stay unblameable before God. But if I don't, I am blameable because I'm not practicing holiness because I'm not obeying the commands of God. Are you with me? Very, very simple. Now, understand this. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, in the last days, there will be perilous times, dangerous times. And then he starts to give a list of what he's talking about, what he means by dangerous and perilous. The first thing on the list is this, that men will be lovers of themselves. We've got the whole love yourself thing down, don't we? We've got that down. Men have, their hearts have waxed cold. Their hearts have waxed hard. And it all stems from just being filled with just self, being all about self, loving self. The society, the culture says, you got to love yourself more. But the Bible says you got to deny yourself and crucify yourself and love others more, you see. I mean, you look at the news headlines, and you see just the manifestation of man loving himself. Do you know they arrested a 28-year-old woman in Batavia yesterday? Her relative came to see her. She had a baby 3 months ago. She killed the baby. She murdered the baby. And the baby's been in the house for 3 months, dead. The law enforcement was called to the home right in Batavia. It's on Fox News, national news, but it's New York. It's upstate New York. It's 20 minutes from here. This woman is charged. She already had a couple of children. They have proof already, even though the baby's with the medical examiners, that this baby was murdered and that the mother allegedly had committed this murder. She's locked up in jail without bail right now, and the baby has been dead in its bassinet for 3 months. There's a problem here when a mother can kill her baby. There's some issues here. The hardness of man's heart waxing cold, men and women being lovers of themselves. Why did she kill the baby? Why did she want the baby? We don't know, but maybe the baby was an inconvenience for her. Maybe the baby was a disturbance to her life, to her being able to do what she wants to do. Anyway, it's perilous, dangerous times because men have become lovers of themselves above even a newborn baby's life. You see what I'm saying? I mean, these are dark days. that we're living in. Ashley Madison, how many of you have heard of this website? A Canadian website, essentially, that's where it came from, where people go on to have affairs, where people go to hook up people. That's where the guy from 19 Kids and Counting, Josh Duggar, he was on this site committing, looking for relationships that have adultery. This is where he was found. He admitted to these things. Celebrities, Fox News has a whole article about how celebrities are being caught left and right on AshleyMadison.com looking for affairs because men have become lovers of themselves. They don't love each other. So as simple of a message it is this morning that I'm preaching to love each other, we don't have it down. We shouldn't check out at this point because we don't know what we're doing in essence as a culture. The 400 pastors, statistically, this morning, Ed Stetzer reports, and he's an Accurate Christianity for Today author from everything I've ever read. He's a statistician also, and he said that today, 400 pastors, elders, deacons, and church leaders are going to resign because of being found on AshleyMadison.com. Today, in our country, a Canadian website. And there are way more, he says, than that are involved. So this message I'm preaching needs to be preached in the church. It's not a message that is too low. It's not a message that is too fundamental. We need to evaluate, do I really love God and do I really love each other, one another? Paul talks about one another a lot in Scripture. Pray for one another, edify one another, encourage one another, build up one another, but love one another. Love and grace are Paul's themes. You guys who have read Pauline epistles over and over again, you know that. He's all about love and he's all about grace. He's all about love and he's all about grace constantly through two-thirds of the New Testament. And he's saying here, I want you guys to love you. The problem is you love yourself. The problem is that you live in a culture and a society that preaches that you should love yourself and do what makes you happy and do what makes you feel good and do what seems right to you. But that will lead to your destruction. Paul says, I want you as God has commanded. He'll say that in chapter 4 next week. As God has commanded, God did command it in his son, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 15. He did it twice. He said, this is my commandment that you would love one another. Love one another. He says it twice in John 15. I want you to do this thing, and I want you to do it the way that I love you guys there in Thessalonica. So if we do it, it makes us holy because we are being separate from the way everyone else is living in this world. And in being holy, which simply comes by obeying the word and the commands of God, we are unblameable in practice before the throne. I already know we are positionally, but now in practice. So there's nothing that separates me and my fellowship with him. If you're with me, would you say amen? Okay, so let's look this morning at what Paul means when he says, I want you to love each other the way that I love you. The first example I'm going to give to you this morning is found in chapter 2, verse 17, and in chapter 3, verse 6, because it's really all just one big section. Chapters and verses were put in way later. This was all just one continual letter when he first wrote it. So it goes together. In verse 17, Paul says this, 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, we endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Chapter 3, verse 6, he says this now. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also desire to see you. So brotherly love, the first love that we're looking at this morning, the love that he wants us to have for each other, Paul says essentially is this. Love, that type of love, desires others. You can write that down if you're taking notes this morning. Brotherly love desires others. So when Paul says, I want you to love each other the way that me and Timothy and Luke love you, it would mean this. It looks like this. Then love and desire one another. Do you desire the body of Christ? Do you desire, do you long to come together into God's house and be with each other? Paul says, if you're loving each other, because he's anointed by God's Spirit. We all know that, right? I don't want to take anything for granted here. Paul is writing under the absolute anointing of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit has a lot to say about this, because he's part of a triune Godhead. So God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father know about fellowship. They know about desiring to be together. They're three persons, one God. Are you with me again? Would you say, yes, I'm with you if you're with me? Okay, this is a little bit heady, but it's important. God the Spirit has much to say on fellowship and relationship because he's a relational God in his own essence and nature. Isn't that crazy? I mean, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit hang out and they have been since eternity past. They're three persons, one God. They're not all just one God. You know that, right? They're three distinct persons. The Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a him. He's a spirit. He's alive. He's real. He's working. The Father, it's a person. Jesus, it's a person. Three persons, one God. So they know a lot about fellowship. So the Spirit of God is moving on Paul's heart to say, love each other, and don't leave it at that, Paul. God the Spirit said, Paul, write these things down that I want them to love each other the way that you have loved them. And now we look back at what that means. Paul says, if you're going to really love each other the way that I love you, then you're going to desire one another. You're going to want to be together. You're going to long to have Christian fellowship. You're not going to just come to church for the Bible study. You're not going to just come to church for the worship. You're not going to just come to church to see what people are wearing or not wearing or to show off your new outfits. You're going to come to church because you crave the body of Christ. You long to rub elbows, to rub shoulders, to go have a coffee in the cafe, to have a conversation on the patio. You long to do that with other people who are Jesus-minded. So ask yourself this morning, am I unblameable in practice before God because I love the body of Christ, and in loving the body of Christ, I desire the body of Christ? Or do you not desire the body of Christ? If you don't desire the body of Christ and you simply come here on a Sunday and you leave here after the service is over, you're nothing more than a religious zealot in some ways. You're nothing more than somebody who walks into the Catholic Church or some other religious building and goes and does their deed and then you leave. Do you see what the Bible is saying, not me? This is the Bible here. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 tell us to provoke one another unto good works. And as you see the day of the Lord approaching, all the more do not forsake the assembly of the brethren as some have done. That you're to come to church, you're to fellowship, you're to hang out, you're to pray with each other, you share your heart with each other, and to have relationships within these walls. So do you desire the body of Christ? That's just, I suppose I can go really long on that, but I won't. I'll leave it there. Do you desire the body of Christ? You should. If you're loving the body of Christ the way Paul said that you're supposed to, inspired by God's Spirit, you will. I know I do. Are we dysfunctional? Absolutely. But we're the best dysfunctional family going. We're the best dysfunctional family out there. Every family is dysfunctional. What better dysfunctional family to belong to than this? People who know it, but people who love Jesus. And so desire each other. And all of our quirks and craziness and loudness and quietness and different styles and personality, it's beautiful, the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ because I love that I could just go and grab a cup of coffee and sit and talk to probably anybody in this room and have something to talk to you about if you're a real Jesus lover. Heaven, doctrine, the testimonial things that God has done. I mean, I can fellowship with an 8-year-old, and I can fellowship with an 8-year-old if they love Jesus. It's beautiful, the body of Christ. So you should desire the body of Christ. You shouldn't despise it. In fact, that's an indication. I'm going to hit this one more time here. Round two. I'm going to hit this for a second because that is a clear indication if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, essentially, as Pastor Chuck Smith always said, is love for people. If you don't love people, you should reevaluate if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you the dunamis or the ability or the power to live the Christian dynamic life. But that is all in relation to loving the world enough to tell them about Jesus. How are you going to love the world if you don't even love the church? God is love, 1 John chapter 4, 8. God is love. If God is in your heart and he's ruling your heart, love is going to flow from you. Even if you got gifts, if you don't got love, you're like clinging cymbals. You're like nails on a chalkboard. You do not got it going on until you got love. Everything flows from love. So, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, a heathen said about Israel when they were nothing but wretched sinners. Couldn't even pronounce a curse on the people of God as a heathen because the Spirit of God came upon him. And that's the way the Spirit always sees us, lovely. And if you're filled with that same Spirit, you will always see the people that you go to church with as lovely. I love saying this line though when I preach this. Do you got to like everybody? No. You don't have to be best buddies with everybody. You don't have to go to Starbucks and go to dinner and watch movies with everybody that you go to church with. But you got to love everybody. It's a command. It's what God requires of us. And don't even give me, well, that sounds clicky. Jesus in some ways was clicky in that context. Hey, Peter, James, and John, you come with me. The rest of you guys stay over there. Mount of Transfiguration, the Garden of Gethsemane. He had an inner circle, didn't he? Everybody has an inner circle. Everybody has a close group of friends. So understand the context of this message. The second point here this morning is that brotherly love not only desires others, but it endures. It endures for others. Chapter 2, verse 18, Paul said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan set up a roadblock. Satan broke up the road. It's a military word. We couldn't come to you at first. Listen, what did Paul do? Say, "Oh, well, too bad." Nope, chapter 3 starts with him telling, "So I sent Timothy to you." It endures for other people. Isn't that true, husbands and wives, moms and dads, anybody with a heartbeat this morning, that if you're going to love somebody, you better be up for some endurance being tested. Endurance. You're in it for the long haul. Endurance. Paul said that this is the command of God. This is what I'm asking of you, that you would do it until the day of the Lord. Endurance. We got to love each other from now till we take our last breath, or until that trump blows and Jesus Christ calls us home. We don't just got to love each other today and then go home and say, "Whoo, that was a tough day. I had to love the body of Christ today. Thank God that's over." You got to wake up tomorrow and love each other. You got to wake up Tuesday and love each other. You got to wake up Wednesday and love each other. And I'm glad that this is in God's word this morning, because it's a wonderful point. Familiarity breeds contentment. And when you start getting familiar with people and you start getting, you know, around their isms and their idiosyncrasies and you're around them often, you can start to get annoyed with people and even start to despise people and not like people and get aggravated with people. We're with each other a lot, aren't we? I'm with you guys more than I'm with my own family. I mean, I'm with you on Sundays, a lot of you on Mondays, a lot of you on Wednesdays, a lot of you on weekend times. I mean, I'm with you a lot, 3-4 days a week, and you're with me. And we need love that endures if we're going to make it. We need love that endures each other's losing our tempers, each other's sins, each other's confessions, each other's faults, each other's letdowns. How many times has somebody let you down in the body of Christ? Somebody has failed you. They haven't been what you think they should be or what you thought that they were. And you need love that endures for them, because that's not always easy to just give out love, to give out love, to give out love. Love is tested. Love is tried, and true and tried love is going to last for the long haul. It's going to last till Jesus calls us home. You don't get to throw in the towel on your love for people. You don't get to say, "I've loved this person for 5 years, and I know their ways, and I'm done with them." You don't get that option. God doesn't do that with you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.